How's everybody doing?
Awesome.
All right. That's good. Got some announcements, I'm sure. I know we the building, we're making progress, we're getting close, been in contact with the insurance company. They've reopened the claim. We're waiting on them. We're going to hear something this week from them. As soon as we get that figured out, we can move ahead with getting the roof fixed. And once the roof is fixed, we will move full forward into getting the rest of the inside fixed up. This place is a dump. And I'll be honest with you. Let me just tell you a little something. I wasn't planning on saying this, but when I met with Rick for the first time about pastoring this church in December, getting a new building was really on my heart. I wanted to get a new place. But we started meeting in here and praying on a weekly basis as a leadership team. And the Lord began to change my heart a little bit. And I just want to kind of tell you what I'm feeling. You know, Jesus was born in a manger. He didn't come to a high palace somewhere. He came to a place where there was animal dung in the floor, and he was laid in a manger where they eat. You know, we say manger, and it kind of takes the... Yeah, exactly. You know, and it wasn't really we call it a manger, but it's a feeding trough. And then I thought about Azusa Street. If you're not familiar with Azusa Street, it's when the Holy Spirit was poured out kind of again in America. I'm sure he had done it in other places, some, but this is like the first major recording of God pouring out the Holy Spirit afresh, and it was a horse stable. And you know, it's interesting, it was whites and blacks had come together. The leader of it was black. He was a black man. And there was a couple white people who humbled themselves, and they came because God touched this man, Seymour. This man was so humble. This breaks my heart, but if you know much about Seymour, he had been going to a school, Christian seminary, if you will, but they wouldn't let blacks in. If somebody wouldn't let me in because of my color or because of something they didn't like about me, I'm pretty sure I would have walked away and been like, bump y'all. You know, he didn't. He pulled up a chair and he sat outside the door. That's hunger. That's humility. And God honored this man, and he poured out his Holy Spirit on him and his group of people that were meeting in a horse barn, and it changed the whole face of America, and really the world. It changed the whole face of the world. The Holy Spirit had been poured out afresh, anew. And we're a charismatic movement, if you will. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We honor him. We honor the gifts of this Holy Spirit. We honor the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We honor the Holy Spirit. We want everything he has. And he was poured out in a very humble place. And when I began to pray, I just sensed the Lord wants to do something so powerful in this place. And I'm sorry I'm getting emotional, but I don't know what's come over me, but like whenever we started praying, I can't get this thing off of me. There's a move coming. God's about to move in a way that's going to blow our mind. And the fact that this burden is on me just encourages me that, you know, the burden comes so that we pray because it's in his heart to come. See, he wants to come and he needs people to pray. And so he'll put a burden on people to pray. And then they begin to pray and cry out because of the burden that God puts on them. And then he shows up. He comes. And I just want to tell you, I think God's going to move in this little manger. He's going to move in this little stable. He's going to move. And it's going to be blacks and whites together here. I've seen it.
Praise God.
It's going to be blacks and whites together.
Hallelujah.
That's the truth. That's the kingdom.
Right.
Men from every tribe and nation and tongue. It's not just white people here and black people here and, you know, Hispanics and Asians. We're all his body and we have to come together. And so God's going to do something. And we're in the midst of a very low-income housing neighborhood. And we have an opportunity to go out and reach this community. And we're going to do it. We're going to do it. I want to do a kids camp this summer. And go and do a vacation Bible school, if you will. I don't know. You can call it wherever you want to. We go out and we pick these kids up and we bring them in here and we teach them about Jesus. And we love on them. And we feed them. If they have a need, we give it to them. And then we reach their parents because we're reaching their kids. God's about to do something. And I'm overwhelmed. I'm hungry. I'm passionate. And I can only say it's the Holy Spirit. You know, Lonnie said this to me the other day. He's like, I can't wait to pray. Isn't that what you say, Lonnie? He's like, there's a hunger that's coming. And I've been in the same place. I've never been this hungry before in my life. And I don't know if y'all can feel that. That's the grace of God. You don't make that stuff happen. It's God moving on us so that we can begin to petition heaven so he can come. God's going to move in this place, and I'm no longer in a hurry to leave here. As a matter of fact, I don't want to leave here. I don't want to leave here until God, if God leads us out, that's one thing. But I don't care if, you know, Jesus had meetings where, you know, the little house was so full, they had to tear the roof off just to bring people in. And that's, I'm seeing that. They wouldn't have to do much here. But I'm seeing it. I'm seeing the Lord coming, and I'm excited about it. So, all right. Well, Lord, you are here. Please continue to speak to us and draw us up higher. Give us your perspective, your heart. Give us revelation from you, Lord. We want to hear from you. We love you, Lord. All right. If you got your Bibles, and you probably don't even have to open here. I mean, a lot of believers can quote this. But Matthew 6. I really want to get back to what I just said. I really feel like that's the message, and I've already given it. God's moving on us so we can move on him so he can move. Did y'all hear me? God's moving on us so that we can cry out to him so he can do what he wants to do. I want to explain that a little bit. Matthew 6, verse 9 and 10. This is the Lord's Prayer. And it says, "Pray then in this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, we know the prayer keeps going, but I just want to highlight that part right there. Pray in this way. Father, your name's awesome. It's awesome. Let your kingdom come here. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Now, let me ask you a question. Why would a sovereign God ask us to pray for his sovereign will to take place? You ever wonder about that? It's kind of like, why? I mean, he's sovereign. Why don't he just do it? He can do anything he wants. Why don't he just do it? What's the plan for, or why does he need us to do this? I'm going to say something that may offend some of you. It probably won't offend everybody. Matter of fact, this message may be basic to you guys. And if it is, well, you get to hear it again. But God's will does not automatically happen. God's will does not automatically happen. And I want to back this up with Scripture, okay? We all want to back everything up with Scripture. I want to tell you that in the beginning, God in his sovereignty chose by his own will to create a man in his own image. And he gave him authority over the earth. Y'all know that? That's right, he gave him dominion. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it said, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Let me tell you how sovereign God is. I believe in the sovereignty of God. God is so sovereign that he can give humanity authority over the earth to have total free will, to let them do anything they want to do, they can choose. And at the end of the day, at the very, very end, his ultimate will and intention will still have been done. That's amazing. I mean, that's like, he's so sovereign, he didn't have to control anybody and his will still happened. That's on another level, you know. But I want to address the issue about things that happen in life that are not God's will. He didn't intend certain things to happen. And in this realm of this age that we live in, he gave authority over the earth to man. Man is the gatekeeper. We decide what happens in the earth. Okay? Now, let's look at another scripture. Psalms 115:16 says, "The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men." Right? God is in heaven, but he gave the earth over to the sons of men. All authority was given to Adam and Eve to govern the earth. I don't know of any scripture, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not aware of one scripture in the Bible where it says God gave Satan authority in the earth. I'm not aware of one. Now, we do have scripture that says Satan is the god of this world, right? We know when Satan appeared to Jesus, when he was tempting Jesus, he said, "The kingdom of this world are mine to give to whoever thou wish. Just bow down and worship me and I will give it to you." Okay? But nowhere that I'm aware of in scripture does it say God gave Satan authority in the earth. What happened was Adam and Eve, who had authority, the Bible says that the call and the gifts of God are without repentance. Or in other words, another translation says that the call and the gifts of God are irrevocable. When God gives you something, it's yours. He's not one of these people that gives you something and said, "No, just kidding, give it back. You didn't do it how I liked it, give it back to me." When he gives you something, it's yours. You do with it what you want to, right? He gave man authority over the earth. It's theirs. They can do what they want to. It's free choice. He gave us choice. And yet, they obeyed Satan, didn't they? Satan comes and he said, "Did God say?" And he began to deceive Eve. And when he did, when he obeyed Eve, or obeyed Satan, they released their authority to him. Jesus said, "Whoever you obey, you're enslaved to." Talking about sin, right? If you obey sin, you're enslaved to sin, Jesus said. When we obeyed Satan, we became enslaved to Satan in the obedience, right? And so what did God do? He loves us. He knows that we just gave our authority that he meant for us to walk in alignment with him over to the evil one. And yet God had a plan. Jesus, you know, there was a prophecy even in the judgment at the garden once Satan had deceived Eve and man and Adam and Eve disobeyed God and they ate the fruit. And God comes and, you know, he goes to the man, "What have you done?" "Well, it was this woman you gave me, Lord." And the woman said, "Well, the snake deceived me." And he's like, "What did you do?" And what did God say? He said that your seed, talking about Eve and talking about Satan, he said, "Your seed will crush the serpent's head and he will bruise his heel." Eve's seed. Eve's seed. Isn't that interesting? So here, 4,000 years later, here comes Jesus, born of a virgin. Emmanuel, God with us. Here's a sign to be born unto you. A virgin will be with child. And you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And Jesus Christ left his heavenly home where he was in heaven, being God, because he was God. He is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. It goes on to say that all things were made by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Colossians says that all things were made by him, for him, and through him. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." He was God. From all eternity, everything that was created through Jesus. pre-incarnate, meaning before he became a man, he existed. Just like when God said, let us make man in our own image. There was a plurality there. It was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit moving through Jesus. And yet, Philippians 2 says that Jesus emptied himself. He did not regard equality with God something to be grasped at, but emptied himself and being found in the appearance of as a man, right? So Jesus emptied himself of his deity to become a man. And Jesus said, of my own self, I can do nothing. So when he was walking the earth, he was walking the earth as a man. He wasn't walking the earth as God. He was God, but he set deity aside, according to Philippians 2, to become a man. And throughout all the Gospels, what does Jesus call himself over and over and over again? The Son of Man. Why did he highlight that? Because man got us into this mess. Man had to get us out. God gave authority to man. A man has authority. A man had to take authority back. But no man could take authority back. We were all messed up. We were corrupted. Sin nature had come in. And we know that sin is passed from fathers to the fathers. Right? The sins, it says that the sins of the fathers are passed from generation to generation. Jesus' father was God. The Spirit came on Mary, a virgin. So he was sinless, and he was born of a woman. And so the seed of the woman was here to crush the head of the serpent. You ever stomped your foot on a snake before? I have. I've had a snake in my yard, and I thought it was poisonous, and I was trying to kill it, so I went to stomp on its head. Man, that hurt. I bruised my heel. I bruised my heel in the process of crushing the serpent's head. And that gives kind of new light, if you will, to what he was saying in the garden when he said, you will crush his head, but he will bruise your heel. When Jesus went on the cross and he died, and he bore our sickness and our sins and the whole curse, he took it upon himself. When he stepped into that agony, the very thing that was crushing Satan's head was the thing that was bruising the woman's seed's heel. Our Savior. He's so good. We love him. And so Jesus, having crushed Satan's head, he had taken full authority back. Scripture says that Jesus descended. He descended into hell. He took the keys of sin and death. And he rose again, triumphant, over the enemy as a man, dependent upon the Holy Spirit. He did it as a man. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. He was dependent upon God. He walked as a man. He was the Son of Man because man has authority over the earth. So a man had to come to take that authority back. And Jesus did that. He went down to hell. He defeated Satan. He rose again. And then after he rose again, he says in Matthew 28, 18, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I think that's interesting. Jesus, who is God, but had set his deity aside to take on flesh, who became a man forever, now says all authority, both in heaven. He's got the God thing covered. Remember, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. He's got the God thing covered in heaven, and on earth he's a man. He got the authority on the earth. So all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go ye therefore. The reason we can go now, having the full restoration of authority in this life, is because Jesus as a man took back that authority. And now all authority, both heaven's authority and man's earthly authority, has been restored. And we can access that through him. Adam chose to obey Satan. Satan came to him, he obeyed. Jesus, Satan came to him, he did not obey Satan. He obeyed his father. Isn't that awesome? And now we have that authority back. You know, I want us to understand a little bit about, I really felt like the Lord wanted us to talk about prayer this morning. This is a prelude into our healing series because it's important to understand man's authority. If we don't understand man's authority, I think we won't have a proper foundation to really understand healing. We have to understand man's authority. Jesus took it back. And now that he has taken it back, and we have been born again into him, we're his body. Jesus said, even as I was sent, so I send you. We're called to walk in that authority now. You know, and Satan and God, if you will, are trying to influence men to see their kingdoms established in the earth. Satan tries to establish his kingdom in the earth by going to men and women, humanity, you know what I mean, right? Usually when you see somebody get murdered, you know, usually a man pulled the trigger, or a man stabbed somebody, or humanity, you know, there, you don't hear that many stories where Satan appeared and killed somebody. You know, that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. I'm just saying that he is constantly influencing people. And the Bible says that, you know, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but with rulers and powers and spiritual darkness in high places, right? And so that clearly shows us that the enemy is at work behind men who were not wrestling with them. They're just empowered, or they're under the influence of the enemy. And so we have to understand that we're the gatekeepers as humanity. And God needs us to partner with him. God, let me say it again. He needs us to partner with him. Now, that may mess with some people's theology or head, you know, the head a little bit, because he's God. He doesn't need anything. By his own choice, he chose from the beginning to set it up this way. This is not us deciding this is how it's going to be. This was God deciding this is how it's going to be. He set it up this way. He wanted it to be like this. He wanted to partner with us. He wanted us to be sons and daughter of the king. And how are we going to grow up into his likeness if we're not given an opportunity to do things with him and the way he did it? And Jesus came to show us that way. And so our thing now is that we need to get in line with what the Father's doing so that we can partner and release what he's wanting to see done on the earth. Now, Psalms 24, it's a further example of this. If you look at Psalms 24, verse 7, I really love this passage. It says, "Lift up your head, O you gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. What is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." Now, can I suggest to us that he's not talking about a metal door or a wooden door somewhere? He's not talking about a golden gate somewhere? He's talking about us humans. We're the gates. We're the gates. We're the ones that he wants us to open up our doors so the King of glory can come in. He wants to come through us. So how do you do that? If we're the gates, you have to look up. What does it say? Lift up your heads. Look up and see him. And then allow this King of glory to come through. Right? We have to have our head looking up. What does the scripture say? Set your mind on things above, not on things below. We're to turn our heart and our mind to heaven, seeing what God is doing in the heavenly realms, and begin to open up these gates of our lives so that God can come through us to impact the world around us. And if we're not looking up, then the King of glory is not coming in, because he has to go through a gate and we're the gates. So how does that work? When we're, you know, Josh Lingner, he told us back there, he had it happen to him last night. He woke up in the middle of the night and was smelling smoke. And he's going through the house looking for it. And finally, he realized it was spiritual. The Lord was calling him to get up and to allow that the fragrance, that smoke to ascend to the throne. The Lord was calling him into a place of prayer. And I've had this happen to me over and over in my life where the Lord would wake me up in the middle of the night. Sometimes I smell smoke. I'll be doing something and all of a sudden I will smell smoke. And the Lord's saying, go get with me. Let your incense ascend. Pray. Because we can bind and we can loosen. You know, we're called to bind and loosen. Jesus said, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Isn't that interesting? We're back again to earth and heaven. What we do as people on earth in authority, what we release in this earth, in this realm, heaven gets released through that. If we release it here, heaven comes down. We're the gateway. We're the gatekeepers. Jesus mentioned this twice in Matthew. You see it in Matthew 16, 19. He says the exact same thing again in Matthew 18 and 19. Same, just a chapter or two later, he's saying the same thing again because it's that important. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. God's called us to, through our intercession and our prayers, to see his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as is in heaven. He wants to move, but he can't unless we open up the gates. That's why what I said from the beginning, he moves on our heart so that we can cry out to him so that he can then do what he wants to do. He won't do it without our help. He won't do it, if you will, without us giving him permission. We have to give God permission to move in the earth. Not that he could have set it up differently. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. But I'm just saying that was his desire from the beginning, that we would be co-laborers with him, that we would be partnering with him so that he can move on us and we can cry out to him and then he can release from heaven. And then we got to do it together. We get to do it together. Hopefully my sister won't get mad at me. I'm telling a story, but it's a good story and it's important. And it's one I've shared here before numerous times in her presence. So yeah, Steve Coffey story. I think this is such a great example of this. And I want to, back in, I think it was 2000 or 2001. It may even been 2002. I lose track of time. Was it, do you remember when Steve?
I don't know what story you're talking about.
So you know Steve Coffey?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
What about him? I don't
know. Okay. We had a, there was one.
2002.
Okay, 2002. Okay. Yeah, I knew it was around that time period. So 2002-ish. I remember my sister calling me and she said that the Lord had spoke to her one Friday night and said that the Lord spoke to her that the watchmen were not on the walls. And that's all he said. And she didn't know what it meant. And we woke up the next morning to find out that a group from our church, it was three of them, our youth leaders, had been in a car wreck on the way back from an event with the youth. And it was bad. The car got hit. It caught on fire. And Steve Coffey, who I had knew very well, he was a brother, he was a friend. I had discipled him. I loved this guy. We had done ministry together. We traveled some together. But he was killed in this wreck. And there was another lady named Elizabeth that was killed. And then there was another young man who, he was about my age, that he got out without a scratch. And it struck me, because the same time, I guess roughly around the same time the Lord's speaking to my sister that the watchmen are on the walls, the enemy moved in and he did something. When I say the enemy, how do you know it's the enemy? Well, Jesus said that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So how do I know if it was Satan? Because death was involved. It was a thief. It was young people in the midst of their young life being snuffed out. So Satan come in to kill, steal, and destroy, and the watchmen were on the walls. And it taught us something about how important it is that we as believers are in have our heads lifted up. And when the Lord gets our attention, we can pray. We can bind. I mean, there's times in the middle of the night, or not just the middle of the night, it could be any time. Sometimes it seems like that's when it happens the most to me. But anytime you can start to get a feeling or a thought or something, you know, we've done prophetic training. It's like you begin to recognize stuff that you feel like the Lord's speaking to you about, and you can begin to pray with revelation, and you actually can stop things from happening that wouldn't have happened. You know, the enemy's, the scripture says he's like a roaring lion roaming around seeking whom he may devour. But we're the gatekeepers. When I hear of tragedy striking, yeah, there's a temptation. There's always a temptation in us to somehow blame God. But can I suggest to you that it ain't God's fault? When little kids are being raped and kidnapped and trafficked in sex trade, and when people are being killed and death is coming, it's not God's fault. It's because the church as a whole have not awoken to their responsibility and the reality of the authority in their life to bind and loosen. You know, God moves upon somebody's heart to pray. And I've had this, I'm guilty of this, okay? What I'm about to tell you, I'm guilty. There is zero condemnation. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm not condemning us as a body. I'm just saying, let's grow up, you know? But I can't, there's been times where I'm laying in bed and the Lord says, get up and pray. Okay, Lord, oh, I love you, Jesus. What do you have? I don't know what I missed. There could have been something that could have been changed. I know there was something that God wanted to do that was missed when I didn't get up. Now, there's no condemnation. He loves us. He still used Peter and James and John when he says, keep watch and pray. And he comes back and they're still sleeping. And he goes and prays some more and he comes back and they're still sleeping. He loves us. He's not condemning us. But there is a reality to the fact that we have an authority that we have to use, and we have to be engaged with him with our heads. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, so that the King of glory can come through. Is that making sense? Okay. It's awful quiet. I don't know how you guys are receiving this. But I believe this is true, and I believe it's our call as intercessors. Every single one of us is called to be an intercessor. We're called to pray and to see the reality of this life that we're living to be changed and impacted by the fact that we're in communion with God and we can release what he's doing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so talking about prayer, you guys are all good with the fact that man has authority in the earth. Does that make perfect sense?
Yes.
Okay. Y'all understand that God only moves if he's been in partnership with someone, with a man, a human, a man or woman. He doesn't do anything without it. The heavens are the heavens, Lord. The earth he's given to the sons of men. He moves through men. That's why Jesus came as a man, so that God could move through him, because he chose to set it up that way. Okay. Just want to touch base on prayer points, and I think this is important. These are a few little lessons I've learned, and then who knows, maybe we'll start praying a little bit. When we're praying, we have to realize we're doing this with God. We can't do it without him, but neither can he do it without us. We can't do it without him, but he can't do it without us. One thing that I've found important is that when we're praying, it's very important that we pray in faith. And this is what I mean by that. I had to learn this lesson the hard way. I remember having an experience when I was a teenager. I wasn't even a teenager. I think I was in my early 20s. But there was something that I was praying for, and I was asking God to do something. And it was like, you know, you're asking God to do something, but then you keep looking at what you're praying for and you don't see it happen. So you go back to God in more fear than you did the first time you came to him. You say, God, please come and do this. And you go back and you look and you're not seeing anything change. Oh no, God's not moving. God, please. And then you're going back and you end up being in such a place of fear and doubt and unbelief in your prayer. You know what I mean? Does that make sense to anybody? Well, you're begging God to do something, and you're not in faith at all that God's doing something. You're in fear and doubt and unbelief because you're looking to the natural to see if God's doing something. And I'm sorry, James says that he who, you know, prays in doubt, let him not think he's going to receive anything. There is a way that we have to come with an expectation that God's doing something. And the scripture says that we walk by faith and not by sight. So when we pray for something, the worst thing you can ever do is to look at what you're praying about and try to determine if God's moving based upon what you're seeing with your natural eyes. It will get you into doubt and unbelief. God doesn't move to doubt and unbelief. He moves through faith. Everything in the kingdom is accessed by faith. You're born again when you have faith in Christ Jesus. We're healed when we have faith that God, not faith in our faith, faith in our God. So it's important that when we're praying for people and when we're praying for situations and we want God to move and do something, when you pray, something that I have found helpful is to imagine in my mind that as soon as I pray, God's starting to work. He's starting to work behind the scenes, and I'm picturing it in my head that God's doing something, and I try to keep it in my mind. You know, God's moving right now. I asked him to move, he's moving. I may not see it with my natural eyes, but with the eyes of my heart, he's doing something that I can't see right now. You know, Jesus did that with the tree when he cursed it. When he cursed the tree, I think it's the story when it's told in Mark that Jesus cursed the fig tree. And it says that in one of the Gospels, it says that when he came back the next morning, the disciples noticed that the fig tree had withered. You know what that tells me? It wasn't immediate. I mean, it was immediate. You couldn't see the fruit of it. You couldn't see it immediately. And I want to contend with some people with us that when we begin to ask in faith, God begins to work. But if you're looking, if you're standing there, if the disciples would have stood there, all right, let's watch this thing. Jesus cursed it. Well, I don't see nothing happening. Man, it must not be working. I guess it's not working. Man, it's getting dark. Golly, I don't see anything. They wouldn't have saw it till the next day. You know, and I think a lot of times we abort our prayers because we pray and then we start looking at the natural and we don't see something happen and we get into doubt and unbelief and we've just aborted the very thing we're trying to believe God for. A good example of that is in Daniel 10. It says that the angel comes to Daniel. Daniel, what had happened was, I'm going to kind of tell you the story a little bit. Basically, Daniel started seeking the Lord over something. He started mourning. He started fasting. 3 weeks, I believe it is. He didn't eat tasty food or meat. You know, he goes on what everybody knows now is the Daniel fast, and he begins to seek the Lord. And in verse 11, it says, and he said to me, this is the angel appearing to Daniel, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understanding the words that I'm about to tell you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. In verse 12, then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this, on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. Okay? So first point, Daniel started praying, and immediately his words were heard, and immediately the angel was dispersed. God heard the prayers. He sent the angel, right? This was 3 weeks later. 3 weeks later, but God immediately sent the answer. So let's read on. What's the deal here? But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the king of Persia. Now I've come to give you understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days. And he goes on to begin to talk to Daniel. Well, here's the thing. A lot of times, as soon as we start praying, God begins to move. But there's a war going on. Sometimes the answer had been sent, but there's a war going on in the heavenlies over our prayers. And what are we doing? Are we staying in that place? I prayed. I'm standing in faith. I'm believing. I'm not letting go of this. I'm not letting go of the hem of the garments till I get my healing. I'm not stopping. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're answering my prayers. I refuse to start doubting that you're true to your word. And I stand in faith and I begin to just thank you, Lord, for that you're healing me. Thank you, Lord, that my finances are changing. Thank you, Lord, that you're moving in my life. Thank you, Father. Or do we get, oh, God, I don't see nothing changing. Guess nothing's going on. Golly, I bump it. I'm done. I'm leaving. I'm going to go back fishing. That's what Peter did, you know. He returned, went back fishing. A lot of times we're at war and the heavenlies are in war. And we have to stay. The scripture says with faith and patience, we inherit the promises. It takes faith and patience to stay in that place. To not abort your, and God is answering your prayers. I'm not got time to go into this. Read Mark 11:24. You know, it says all things you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it shall be granted to you. But read John 15:7, read John 16:23 and 24, amazing passages. Another two little quick little things. This is not exhaustive. It's just some things that were on my heart. When we're praying as intercessors, it's prayer as intercessors are not always us crying out to God. That's part of it. You know, our heads lifted up. But sometimes we have to walk in the authority that we've been given as someone whose head is lifted up and we're in alignment with the King of Glory and we're seeing what he's doing and we're seeing what he wants to do. And then what we have to do is to act like we've been taught in the prophetic training, and we begin to decree what God's wanting to see happen. God created the whole earth by speaking, and he's called us to do the same thing. We talked about that in Ezekiel 37, how Ezekiel prophesied life to the dry bones, and it happened. And there are times in our intercession and our prayer that when we're aligned and we see what God wants to do, we have to begin to declare it. You know, Job 22:28 says that I have decreed a thing and it shall be established. It says decree a thing and it shall be established. Whosoever says to the mountain, be taken up and cast in the sea. There is a certain power in our words that we have to realize as sons and daughters of the King who are walking in, under his power, we can speak and it changed the atmosphere. So when we're praying, sometimes it's not, Lord, I want you to do something. That's part of it. But sometimes you get the revelation and you see it and you got to speak it. Yep. Say to the mountain, get up and go into the sea. You know, once you get the revelation of what God's wanting to do, you can begin to speak to those things and tell them to get out of here. That's binding and loosening. You know, was it Dawn or I don't know. What was the story about your nephew? Somebody got woken up, or it was Paige. Paige got woken up in the middle of the night, filled in this burden to pray. Didn't get a scratch on him. Did y'all hear that? That's right. I have a suspicion that she probably was doing some declaring in the midst of that. I wish she was here so she could tell us. So sometimes we have to declare. We can get deeper into that later on. I'm just really briefly touching this. Other thing that's really important is to pray the word. Pray the word over yourself. Pray the word over your family. Pray the word over your situations. When you have a situation you're facing, pray the word. The word does not return void. You know, when God says something, we begin to pray it into effect, and it actually has a major powerful effect. So we want to dive into this some more. Time's up, you know. But I just wanted to kind of do a brief touch on the fact that we have authority in this earth, that God is moving on us so we can cry out to him so he can move. And I just want you guys to join with me, if you will, in praying. I mean, keep praying for your situation, circumstances. We all have stuff that we have to contend for that's affected by our sphere of that we walk in. You know, we all have an area in life that we touch. But when we come together here, I am really believing God for a healing revival. I'm believing God. I've been crying out for God for some healing angels to get released up in this place and some prophetic angels. And I want to see the kingdom of heaven come in power. I want miracle signs and wonders to happen here. I really believe with all my heart that we're coming into a time when people are going to be standing at the door, and some of them are going to be sitting in wheelchairs.
Yes.
And they're going to be fighting to get in here because God's healing everybody that comes in here.
Hallelujah.
I'm contending for that in my heart. It's there. God wants to do this. But we have to be in line with him. I feel his heart. He wants to do this. But we have to contend for this thing. So I'm begging you, contend with me. Contend with me. Pray. When you feel the Lord stirring something, begin to declare it. And Lord, I just right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare that this is a healing center. This is a revival center. This is a place where people can come, and it doesn't matter what kind of physical ailment they have, they get touched by heaven in this place. Lord, we ask for just a release from heaven, Lord, right now on this church that impacts our whole area, God. Lord, send forth healing angels to help minister with us. We want them. We welcome them here. Father, send angels with revelation to give us your heart, to show us what you're wanting to do. Lord, you were sending Daniel angels to give him understanding. We want some angelic help up in this place. Father, we want you to come. Lord, let this place be a place that Jesus can be seen. And Lord, use this place to impact the whole neighborhood around us. Lord, we just pray right now. If it's okay, guys, let's pray for this neighborhood. Lord, we just pray over the people that live behind us. Father, that walk to and fro and drive from this area right here every day. Lord, we pray for these lives. We want them to come into the kingdom. For those that don't know you, Lord, we want to be vessels, Lord, that you can move through to touch these people. That we can partner with you and see this whole area transformed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We don't want church as normal. We want to be engaged in with you, seeing this world changed. Father, feel free to wake us up in the middle of the night. Help us, Lord. Feel free to move on our heart. Teach us to turn the TV off when you're not religiously, but when you're calling us, Lord. When you're wanting us to come away. To lift our heads up, to see what heaven's wanting to do so we can see that released. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I don't know how to end this. But I just want to encourage you. There really is a stirring going on. I can feel it. I feel like, does anybody feel it?
Yes.
Yes.
Give yourself to it. Just give yourself to it. It's a precious thing to have God move on your heart. So that you can cry out to him so he can come. It's a gift. And if you feel it, honor it by surrendering to it and crying out. We want to continue this prayer bowl that we're doing. We got prayers going on Monday night. We're praying on Wednesday nights. We're praying Sunday mornings in church. If you guys feel led to start praying as a group, you feel free. Just ask me how I can help you. If you need my help. If you don't, just get together. Pray. Pray, and then pray. God's wanting to come, and I believe he is. Okay. All right. God bless you guys.